Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
My husband Thomas and I moved into our dream house last year. It was this two-story house in the suburbs. Blue paint, a yard with a garden, my own private bathroom. I thought it was perfect. I always wanted to live in a neighborhood like this ever since I was a kid watching the Brady Bunch on TV. On the first day there, I was unpacking boxes when I heard a knock on the door. I went to answer it but saw that Thomas had already let the woman in. Thomas introduced her as her next-door neighbor, Martha. She was an older woman, kind of plumped, and our first new friend in the neighborhood. She seemed so nice, and she gave me a bouquet of carnations as a housewarming present. She told us about how sad she was to see her last neighbors leave, and how excited she was to meet her new neighbors.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
At the end of the conversation, she gave me a big hug and left. When she was gone, though, Thomas looked at me and said, "Can you believe her?" I didn't know what he meant. "She seemed nice," I said. "That is the fakest human being I've ever met in my life," he said. "You didn't see that?" "No," I told him. "I like her." "Well, try not to invite her over. At least not until we get to know her a little better." "No problem," I said. I didn't need to invite Martha over because she came over the very next day. This time, she brought a pie. Thomas wasn't home at the time, and I knew he didn't trust her, but it would be really rude of me to turn her away. So I invited her in, and we had some coffee. Once again, it was an extremely nice visit. She seemed to be a great listener. We talked for about an hour, and then she used my bathroom and left. Thomas got home later that night, and I didn't plan on telling him that Martha had come over. I didn't want us to get into an argument. But as I was getting ready for bed, I noticed that my entire jewelry box was empty. All of my expensive jewelry had been stolen. I knew that we hadn't lost any of it in the move, because I'd gone through my jewelry that morning. Martha had been the only other person in the house that day. It had to be her. Right away, I told Thomas everything. "I'm going to go over there and talk to her right now," he said. I could tell by his expression that he was ready for a fight. "Maybe I should just call the police and report the robbery," I said. "I don't want anyone to get hurt." "You can't do that," he told me. "This lady is crazy. She's probably a kleptomaniac or something. If you call the police on her on our first day here, she's going to make our lives miserable. Trust me, I've dealt with crazy people before." That was definitely true. Thomas was a social worker for the government and told me some pretty intense stories. "Then let me talk to her myself," I said. "I'll just go over there and ask her. I won't accuse her of anything." He looked doubtful at my idea, but that didn't stop me. I walked over to Martha's door and knocked. She opened the door and smiled. "Sorry to bother you," I said, "but all my jewelry has gone missing. I wondered if you knew anything about it." "Me? Of course not. What are you accusing me of?" "I'm not accusing you of anything," I said. "I just want to know." I froze in her doorway. She had just pulled back the hair behind her ear, and I could see that she was wearing a pair of my earrings. "Those are mine," I shouted, and she slammed the door in my face. I went back home, defeated and furious. I told Thomas everything, and he started laughing. "That lady is something else," he said. I still wanted to call the police, but Thomas had another idea. He suggested we just go to her house when she's not home and steal my jewelry back. I thought this plan was insane, but he wouldn't back down. He said it was the only way to put her in her place. "Fine," I told him, "but we're doing this together, and no one is getting hurt." He got a big smile on his face, as if I agreed to go bungee jumping with him or something. He went to our kitchen window and waited there. It gave him the perfect view of Martha's house. After about an hour, he screamed out in excitement and called me into the room. He said that Martha had just driven away. It was our turn now. We hopped to the fence into Martha's backyard. We tried the door, but of course it was locked. After searching around, I saw that there was a basement window just above the ground that was half open. It wasn't very big, but I knew that I could squeeze through. I also knew that Thomas couldn't. He was a little chubby. So I told him to wait outside as my lookout while I snuck inside and grabbed my jewelry. Even though it was his idea, Thomas looked a little nervous about me going in there alone. But I convinced him. I squeezed through the window and found myself in the dark basement. When I turned the light on, I saw shelves filled with stolen wallets and clothes and other valuables. It was like a treasure vault in there. Martha must have been stealing from everyone she knew. I found a plastic bag filled with all of my jewelry on one of the shelves. She didn't even bother to put it in a jewelry box. Some of these pieces were worth hundreds of dollars, and she shoved them in a Ziploc. I grabbed the bag and ran back toward the window. I started to climb up the sill, but before I could get all the way through, I heard someone clear her throat behind me. Ahem. I couldn't see the person because my head was already outside, but I knew that Martha was right behind me. In the backyard, Thomas grabbed my hands to pull me out. "You're supposed to be the lookout," I shouted at him. I couldn't go all the way through because Martha had grabbed my legs and was trying to pull me back in. I guess she had more leverage, or maybe she was just stronger than Thomas, because he was able to pull me back into the basement. "You're trespassing," she said. "And you're a thief. Look at all this stuff," I told her. "Why do you do this?" "Why not?" she said with a smile. She grabbed a lawn gnome off the counter and slammed it against the side of my head. She was trying to knock me out, but it didn't quite work. The hit made me topple to the side and gave a piercing headache, but I was still awake, and I was determined to fight back. I picked up some kid's soccer trophy from a shelf and held it in front of me like a weapon. Martha kept swinging that lawn gnome at me, but I used the trophy to block myself. Then, with as much strength as I had, I knocked the gnome out of her hands. Now she didn't have a weapon. I threw the trophy at her and it struck her in the temple. She fell backwards onto the cold floor. She was out cold and a single trickle of blood was dripping out of her nostril. Thomas helped me climb through the window and we waited for the police to arrive. I guess Thomas had called them. I was terrified that I'd get arrested for what I did. Even though it was self-defense, I was in her house and now she was laying there unconscious. Even if I told the police the truth, I didn't think they would believe me. But Thomas just smiled and told me that everything was going to be okay. When the two policemen got there, one went inside to take Martha to the ambulance and the other asked us what happened. My heart was pounding in my chest. I started to tell him that it was just self-defense, but he clearly didn't believe me. Then Thomas said, "It's okay, just watch this." He pulled out his phone and started playing a video for the cop. I guess he'd filmed the whole thing through the basement window. His video showed that Martha was the one who started the fight. Martha was taken to the hospital where the doctors told her she had a mild concussion. The police, of course, found all of the stolen items in her house and have started to return them to their rightful owners. Thomas and I have met a dozen other neighbors since then, and none of them are as crazy as Martha. We've been living in this house for 5 years, and I had never had so much as a glimpse of my next-door neighbor. I was sitting on the front lawn, cross-legged on the grass, my attention half on the daisy chain I was currently stringing together, the other half directed towards the house next door. It was an old 19th-century building with tawny-colored bricks and large bay windows that were always covered with old, moth-eaten curtains. Most of the other houses on the street were more modern, making the Victorian-esque design stand out. There was something brooding about the house, something strange and dark that I couldn't quite put my finger on. Everyone had a story to tell about Miss Winthorpe, the woman who lived there. People said she was over 100 years old, others said she was a ghost. Living in the house next door meant I had heard the whole round of stories, but I didn't believe them. Honestly, I wasn't sure what I believed. At first, I thought that perhaps the house was just empty, abandoned, and that nobody lived there after all. But on the way home from school one day, a few weeks after moving there, I had seen the curtains twitch and a shadow move across them, which meant there was someone living there. The elusive Miss Winthorpe was real after all. About a year after we moved into the house, I discovered more evidence that the place was not empty after all. Sometimes, when the nights were silent and the wind was still, I would hear an eerie wailing coming from next door. I thought that perhaps it was an animal, a fox or a cat rummaging through the dumpster, since sometimes their cries sounded human. But after several nights of hearing those strange guttural cries, I concluded that it wasn't an animal after all, but a person making those sounds. Miss Winthorpe, specifically. I thought that perhaps she was in pain, and that's why she couldn't leave her house. Maybe she was bedridden and couldn't move. But then, whose shadow did I glimpse that one afternoon? And how had she managed to survive this long without leaving her house to buy food? I turned my attention back to the daisy chain in my mind, the gentle white petals curling beneath my touch. Miss Winthorpe and the house she lived in was an enigma that might never be solved. Not unless someone went inside and took a look themselves. I'd seen some kids go up and knock on her door several times, but they never received any answer. Someone had tried to break in once too, but they'd gotten spooked and ran away, claiming the place was possessed by evil spirits. Obviously, that wasn't true, but there was something odd about my neighbor. Between her elusive appearance and the strange moaning cries, there was something not quite right going on. The daisy in my hand snapped when I pressed too hard, my nail severing the stem. With a sigh, I tossed it into the grass and stood up, stretching. When I lifted my gaze to the house next door, I thought just for a moment that I had seen a face staring back at me through the window, old and pale and gaunt. Then I blinked, and there was nothing but swaths of beige curtain, turning yellow with mildew. A trick of the light, nothing more. That night, the roads were quiet and the wind was still. The moment the clock struck 1 a.m., the wailing started. It dragged me out of my dream and into wakefulness, and for a long time I lay awake, staring at the ceiling while listening to those strange cries. I rarely managed to fall back asleep once they started, so instead, I climbed out of bed, tiptoeing across the room to the window. Pulling aside the curtain, I peeked through the gap. There were no lights on in the house next door, but it was illuminated by a pale moonlight, and one of the street lamps further down the road cast shadows across the lawn. Why did I only ever hear her at night? Some of the rumors said she was a vampire who was only active once the sun had set. But I knew that was just ridiculous. Vampires weren't real. Neither were ghosts. As I kept staring across at the house, the curtain began to move in on one of the uppermost windows. Frozen and transfixed, I watched as a pale, bony hand and gripped the thick material and drew it aside. Almost as though she knew I was there, Miss Winthorpe lifted her gaze to meet mine. Like the face I thought I'd glimpsed earlier, there was something old and haggard about her, like a rot was settled in her bones and was eating her from the inside. Her skin was sallow like wax, gaunt around her eyes and cheeks. Even in the darkness, I could see the glint of her dark eyes, buried beneath folds of pale flesh. With a long, slow smile, she lifted one of those long, bony fingers and pressed it to her lips in a shh motion. I couldn't describe why, but fear gripped me like a cold hand around my heart. Something about her just seemed unnatural. Like the house, there was something dark hanging over her, the shadows deep and the air still. She continued to look at me, her finger curling around her lip until I let go of the curtain and stumbled back, almost tripping over the floorboards in the dark. She had seen me looking. She had revealed herself to me. I did not know what it meant, but when I tried to sleep that night, my dreams were haunted by her face, peering at me from behind the cobwebs and dust. Her finger still pressed to the mouth in a gesture of silence.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
It wasn't until about a week later that a series of events led to the house being investigated, and the truth finally came to light. Paramedics found Miss Winthorpe's body in her bedroom. She was nothing but dust and bones. Reports said she had been dead for years, her body completely decomposed. But if Miss Winthorpe had been dead this whole time, then who had been watching me from the window that night?
I was a New Yorker born and raised, and I had lived most of my life here. After I graduated college, my best friend Mindy and I decided we wanted to backpack across the places in the United States. It was an idea we had for a while now, and we had been saving a little bit of our student allowance for the long trip. We were excited. The trip started well. We started in Pennsylvania and traveled across Ohio and Illinois. After Illinois, both of us agreed to visit Wisconsin next. I was particularly excited to go to Wisconsin because my cousin Sarah lived there, and I hadn't seen her in ages. Minnie and I traveled there, and although we stayed at a hotel, we spent most of the day with my cousin. When we got to her apartment, she opened the door with excitement.
"Jimma, I haven't seen you in ages,"
she squealed with glee. I laughed and introduced her to my friend Mindy. Sarah took us around Wisconsin, and although she claimed it to be boring, I found it fascinating nonetheless. She was upset that we weren't going to stay over at her place for the night, but I had to explain to her that we wouldn't want to crowd her small apartment.
"Well, at least come have dinner with me," Sarah said with a pout.
I turned to Mindy, and she shrugged and smiled. Then I turned to Sarah and said, "We'll be there." Sarah's definition of dinner was takeout, and she brought Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I didn't complain. I love Chick-fil-A, and these sandwiches were the best I had ever had. The doorbell rang, indicating that someone was at the door. Sarah said something about finding the bottle of red wine she had hidden so well but couldn't find it. Mindy was sitting meekly on the couch staring at the TV and doing nothing else. I knew she'd probably feel a little awkward around Sarah, but I hoped that she wouldn't. The doorbell rang again, and I decided to go get it. I opened the front door to find a delivery boy. He looked young, like a teenager, and he had shaggy blonde hair partially hidden beneath a baseball hat. He looked past me at the house, and I realized he was checking for something. I wasn't sure. He had the Chick-fil-A uniform on. The red t-shirt he wore had the logo on it. He had our order in his hands, but he looked weirdly out of place, his eyes looking around as though he was afraid someone would grab him. "Hey," I said, after a couple minutes passed without a word from me. The delivery boy snapped his attention to me and handed me our food, then scurried away without another word. I knew Sarah had already paid through the app, but he didn't even wait for a tip. I walked back into the house, feeling creeped out by the way the delivery boy was after me. A chill stuck to me as I took the food to the living room. Mindy was still shuffling through channels, and Sarah shortly walked into the living room with a smile that was too bright.
"Great, the food is here,"
Sarah exclaimed, before handing us our glasses of red wine. Mindy settled on a news channel while I began to unwrap the sandwiches. The flavors exploded in my mouth, and I had to keep myself from moaning.
"This is so good," I moaned between mouthfuls.
Sarah grinned at me, her red-stained lips stretching wide. She turned to Mindy and asked, "Do you like it? It's the best Chick-fil-A in the entire world." Mindy nodded and moaned, "It's the best sandwich I've ever had." I wasn't sure if Sarah was happy because we were enjoying our food, or if it was something more, but she had this silly smile that was kind of eerie. The news channel begins broadcasting chilling news. Apparently there was a serial killer in the city that targeted young women.
They gave details of how the serial killer acted, and it was horrendous. Gutted entrails, eyes plucked out, and so much more. I felt suddenly really sick, and Mindy's lower lips were shaking in fear. The photos of the victims were shown, all young and pretty women who had their lives taken away. Sarah was watching intently, her eyes brightening as she watched the news with us. "Oh, I know Mia. We work together," Sarah commented on one of the victims. And she continued to do so with all the victims. She knew every single one of them, and yet she didn't look afraid that she could likely be next. What jarred me the most was that she didn't seem to feel sorry for the girls either. I felt sick. I excused myself and got up to use the restroom. My head began to feel dizzy, and I wondered if I had too much wine to drink. I was trying to find the bathroom, but I stumbled into a different room. At first, it looked like an ordinary storage room. There was a freezer and a few cardboard boxes, but I noticed there was a trail of blood on the floor. Barely noticeable, but still there. The trail of blood followed me to the freezer, and out of curiosity, I opened the freezer to see what it was. I immediately felt sick at the sight before me. There was so much blood, and things that looked like human eyes and body parts. I couldn't decipher what it was there, so I rushed out of the room with my heart beating wildly. I returned to the living room. It was just Mindy sipping her wine, and I crept towards her. I told her we needed to leave, but I couldn't explain to her why. That was when I looked up at the television, and I was jarred to see my face looking back at me, and Mindy's. It felt so weird looking at ourselves on TV. It was sickening to find the words, "Next Victims of the Serial Killer," written below our photos. "Chima?" Mindy called my name, her voice shaking. I looked at her to find her staring at a piece of paper that looked greasy. She handed it to me. And there, sprawled hastily on the paper, was a warning. "Run. Sarah is the serial killer." After I read the words, I suddenly couldn't feel most of my limbs. I felt like collapsing. I turned to find the look of fear in Mindy's eyes, and I knew I looked just as afraid, too. The delivery boy probably wanted to warn us. Mindy said she found the paper under the Chick-fil-A takeouts. We needed to run away, but our minds and bodies seemed to barely be functioning. Did Sarah mix something in the wine? "Darlings," Sarah's voice chirped, and my stomach turned. We turned to find her walking towards us with a carving knife in her hand. I wanted to cry. "Don't worry, I won't kill you," Sarah cooed. "Or maybe I will." Tears began to fall, my lips shivering. I wanted to beg her to let us go, but I couldn't make myself do it. Fear paralyzed me just as the wine did, and I could picture Sarah carving my insides as I lay there helpless and watching her. I couldn't see Mindy. My eyes were on Sarah, who approached me slowly. I felt bad thinking that I brought trouble onto Mindy. "Don't worry, cousin, it won't hurt," Sarah said, her sinister smile back on her face. "You are not touching her!" Mindy's voice screamed as she ran towards my cousin with a chair in her hand. Sarah wasn't expecting her, and Mindy crashed the furniture on her. Sarah collapsed to the ground with a thud, but her knife was still in hand, and she looked furiously at Mindy. Mindy was somehow smart enough to not drink a drop of the red wine that Sarah had served us, looked scared, with nothing to fend for herself while Sarah had a knife in hand. Sarah shrieked and got up. She ran towards Mindy, who ducked in time. I wanted to scream at her to leave and never come back. But I couldn't even speak. The next thing I knew, I had blacked out. I woke up to siren noises and a bleeding Mindy holding me tightly. She told me how she barely made it alive, and the Chick-fil-A delivery boy had called the police. They came right in time to save us. But the thought that we could have been the next victim scared me. It could have been our entrails in the freezer. But somehow, we survived.
Look like an innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. Those around us, they are not as they seem. Society forces a face upon people just to keep clear of criticism, hate, discrimination. But seeing it firsthand, it changes you. It all happened within a week. Those closest can become the furthest away. Under a week is all it takes to see a person for who, or rather, what they truly are. Years ago, back in the summer of 2012, a new neighbor had decided to move in next door to me. It appeared that they had come alone. It looked like a lady, a pretty one too. She seemed to come with very little, though. One tiny van dropped off her belongings in her garage, and that was it. She appeared quite mysterious. She would always cover her face when she left the house in the morning. I would notice her black top fly about in the wind, having to stop myself from staring too much as to not seem creepy. Once I returned home from work each day, I would usually notice her in the window of her house, glaring at me from above. The glare felt ominous and rather intimidating, but some strange feeling of intimacy arose from it, so I became inclined to finally talk to her. Perhaps she was just a bit anxious about meeting new people. This was only Monday. The early morning sky appeared dim. A shroud of moisture consumed the air, and combined with my nervous sweating, left me rather uncomfortable. Ignoring my discomfort, I quickly snapped out of my thoughts and made my way down the stairs of my porch to go and talk to the neighbor as she left her house.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
I was worried that she would take it as harassment of some kind, so I made sure to be cautious when approaching her. Hey there. I'm Ben. Sorry to interrupt you, but I couldn't help but to notice you. She stopped abruptly. I was rather shocked by the sudden pause and found it odd that she kept her head facing forward as if to hear me out and then continue with her day. Or maybe there was something else. I didn't mean to stop you. How are you finding the new quiet. Her voice was shrill and immediately pierced my ears with the wretched sound of severity. After her command, she stood still for a few more moments, as if to let the awkwardness of the situation set in. And once those few moments of pure silence came to an end, she continued walking towards the car, her legs powered with haste to get away from me. I felt entirely bewildered by it all. The woman had let me speak barely a few words, and it was already a no. I mean, rejection is normal, but whatever that was, wasn't. Maybe I'll try again tomorrow. This time I would knock on her door and maybe bring her something to give her, and so I could quench my curious thirst to see her face. The next day, Tuesday, was one of the worser incidents of it all. I woke up feeling a raging sense of being watched coursing through me. I got up swiftly to go check the windows and bathroom, but there was nobody there. I was just being silly. At least that's what I thought. I went downstairs to go and retrieve the tray of cookies that I had baked yesterday for the girl. It wasn't much, and my experience with women wasn't the greatest, but cookies seemed right for the situation. It was that or another deathly silence, so I really didn't have a better option. It was around 9 a.m. Outside was dreary and freezing cold. Leaving the house, I felt the sparks of shivers run down my spine, both from the temperature and from my heightened nervousness. I crossed over my lawn onto hers with a slight rush in my movement. The cold wind felt sharp as it smacked against my face while I hurried over to her house. The door suddenly flung open in front of me. I leapt back in fright at the woman standing completely still in the doorway, her head facing the floor and a horrific silence consumed us both. I thought I would try to act more confident and make us both feel more comfortable, but before I could even speak, she let out a demonic growl and spoke.
Leave. Do not come again, or he'll get you.
She slammed the door shut, but no footsteps came from the other side. She must still be waiting there, waiting for me to leave. As for myself, I stood, mouth ajar, confused about what the hell just happened. I wanted to give her the cookies, but that voice, there was something darker going on behind that face, and curiosity inclined me to discover what it was. Then Wednesday came, and the sun glimmered across the mist, creating a glistening effect that had engulfed the area. The woman had just left and was walking to her car, but compared to her usual hurried pace, she was far slower today. Each step appeared almost calculated enough so that she could hear anyone else's footsteps approaching nearby. But today, she wouldn't hear nor see any, for it was her house that I wanted to inspect. Eventually, she reached her car. Watching from my porch, I observed as she stood motionless in front of her car, almost as if she hesitated to get in at all, waiting for something to happen. But when she felt that it was safe enough, she grabbed the handle and flung it open. She was now inside and ready to drive off. Fortunately, she didn't hesitate to drive off, and she was out of sight within just a few moments. Now, it was my time. I grabbed my bag and sprinted over to her house. There were a lot of windows, so I started checking to see if maybe the ones next to the front door were locked, only to find the door itself to be wide open. How odd. I made my way inside hesitantly, as if expecting something to welcome me on the other side. But through the door, I saw nothing. The house was completely barren, and there wasn't a single bit of furniture lying anywhere, all except for a singular painting which hung up in the middle of the hallway. I walked up slowly to get a better look. It was a picture of a lady with a twisted face. Her mouth appeared to wrap round the sides of her cheeks, and her eyes sunk deep into the back of her skull. Her nose rising up and bending with her displaced teeth. The picture was horrific. Why would anyone hang something like this up in the middle of the... What are you doing here? A shrill voice came from behind me. I told you to stay away, or he would find you. With fear striking down my spine, I carefully turned my head to look back towards the woman dressed in black standing behind me, her face still glaring at the ground. If I ever see you roaming this place again, I'll burn your house down, with you inside. Now leave! He's almost here. A pounding set of footsteps boomed from upstairs. My blood froze, and my body surged with panic. I darted out past the door, running past her and running straight for my house. Looking back, I saw the woman standing there, and then a large pair of hands closed the door in front of her. Whatever was in that house, it was horrifying. I believe the painting that I saw, it was actually that woman. Yes, it must have been her face. That's why she always covered it. And the scary thing is, who knows what more he had done to her. But I managed to escape.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
And since that day, I never dared to look back. For he could still be there, waiting. Waiting to do the same horrific things to me.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.